Caught, of course, in the middle of all this politically is the Affordable Care Act, which will apparently get some tweaks under a possible Senate-House compromise. Tweaks fall far short of repeal or wholesale delay of the Affordable Care Act, but they make some noticeable changes for people who have already taken advantage of the open enrollment period now underway, despite the government shutdown. They may delay the moment of truth for some businesses as well, looking at the ACA's impact on them. Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent for the Kaiser Health News, joins us. Mary, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, oddly here, part of the Republican compromise would seem to increase the amount of paperwork for certain individuals who might be eligible for getting subsidies. What's that all about?
Well, there's an income verification provision in this tentative deal that Congress is looking at right now that would have the head of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius, the secretary of HHS, certify that everyone getting a subsidy to help purchase coverage actually is entitled to one. And the inspector general of HHS, kind of the investigative arm, would have to also audit that process. So there, my assumption is that it shouldn't delay any sort of implementation of the law, or the administration wouldn't have gone along with it. But this is to calm concerns from Republicans that people don't get subsidies unless they're really entitled to them.
But if people who have already signed up and who are already enrolled could see some additional questions being asked of them if they have applied for a subsidy.
Absolutely. I mean, coverage doesn't start till January the 1st. So in the income verification process, as it's established, they might have to come up with some more paperwork or other pieces of paper to show that, in fact, what their income is, that they don't get insurance from an employer. If they do, it's deemed unaffordable, and they're entitled to a subsidy to buy on the health insurance exchange.
Now, one of the really strident arguments in the House, particularly over the last several weeks, was the idea that there have been delays for certain parts of the Affordable Care Act, and this compromise adds an additional one. It seems that businesses have really been getting off sort of scot-free on some level. What's this latest reinsurance tax delay?
This is a one-year delay in an assessment of its $63 per covered person per year for 3 years that is meant to sort of even out some of the risk in the individual market. People in the individual market tend to be sicker. They tend to be costlier. So this is a fund set up to help insurers in the individual market recoup high losses if they get someone that's extremely sick. But big employers don't like this. Union plans don't like it because it doesn't benefit their members. And so this is a one-year delay, but as it's been explained to me, it's kind of an accounting shift. Instead of collecting the tax next year, it will be delayed for a year and will be collected the following 3 years, but the benefits are still paid out 2014, 2015, and 2016. So it's kind of a sleight of hand to appease employers and union groups, but nonetheless, it's, as we say in Washington, budget neutral. The money still stays the same.
And it doesn't diminish the amount of support that's going to be needed to run some of these exchanges in the individual insurer market that you've talked about can be expensive.
That's right. They can be expensive. And you've got to remember that insurers in the individual market made their bids based on the assumption this reinsurance fee would be collected and paid. So you can't really change the rules of the game at this point.
Now, the big mystery here, and, you know, you're not necessarily someone we would rely on as a political expert, and I don't ask you for the sort of cloakroom story here, but what happened to the medical device tax? That was something that was a complete deal breaker on the part of Republicans. Now, is it back in? Is it out? Where does that stand?
It appears to be out, but I've been told out for the moment. You've got to remember that the medical device tax, and again, this is a 2.3% tax levied on things like artificial hips and pacemakers and so on. This is a very organized and a very strong lobby, and they had pushed on the argument that this would hurt our research and development of medical devices and reduce jobs and so on. But when push comes to shove, you've got to remember that there are a lot of industries that have to pay new taxes and fees in the Affordable Care Act. We've just talked about the insurance industry, the prescription drug industry is paying new fees.
And let me just stop you there on a medical device. I mean, if you have an artificial hip, why would someone not get an artificial hip because of some 2.3% tax? And wouldn't the medical manufacturer be able to pass those along?
That's the thought. They'll simply pass it along. And so that could increase the cost of the procedures when we're in an era where we want to reduce healthcare costs.
All right. These tweaks significant or worth all of this angst that we've been going through before we go?
Fairly minor, I think. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to see more efforts from Republicans who hate the health law to defund it.
Watching the compromise on Capitol Hill that involves the Affordable Care Act, Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.